Hi, DXers. This is Phil Wayne with your very tropical market scope for September 1994. And of course, this is the convention edition. I hope you all have a great time in Nashua. I'm sorry that neither Fred nor I were able to attend this year. So would one of you please make sure to keep a very watchful eye on Jerry Starr during the Anheuser-Busch Brewery Tour. Now, as you may recall, last month we were in the midst of dialing around the broadcast bands in Guam, courtesy of MarketScope correspondent Bruce Reynolds of San Jose, California. This month, we'll continue dialing through paradise as we visit our 50th state, Hawaii. So, in no particular order, this is Island Radio, Part 2.
Good evening. It's time for news on KMVI Wailuku, Maui. I'm Rick Scott reporting. Maui helicopter tour pilots have agreed to continue a voluntary ban on flying over Haleakala Crater.
AM 57, Kong Gold. Nobody plays more non-stop music.
The KSSK Gold Card is Hawaii's newest way to win big. KSSK will be giving away thousands upon thousands upon thousands upon thousands of dollars in cash and prizes with our new KSSK Gold Card. You could win free groceries for an entire year, meet new friends, go on free Las Vegas vacation, free food, win big bags of cash, maybe even enough to retire. And that's just the start. We're still dreaming up more and more great free things to give away. Right now, all you got to do is get a KSSK Gold Card. Check this coming Tuesday's Honolulu Advertiser or Star Bulletin for your KSSK Gold Card application. Then listen to KSSK for fantastic gold card winning. Bigger than big. Coming soon from Hawaii's first choice for fun. KSSK.
And now, more back-to-back KSSK classics on the Million Dollar Classic Oldies Weekend from KSSK 59.
He's a real nowhere man.
Now, Hawaii's most respected news on KSSK Honolulu. The only radio news you'll ever need.
I'm Julia Norton-Dennis in the KSSK News Center. Here's the latest. Fewer people died in Hawaii from smoking than almost anywhere else in the nation in 1990. Keeping you on top of Hawaii and the world, I'm Julia Norton-Dennis, KSSK AM 59 News.
This is KIPA Hino with synchronous transmitters in Kona and Kauai.
With Hawaii Headline News, I'm Ben Gutierrez. It's 3:30. All news, all the time. This is Headline News Radio, KHNR, Honolulu, Hawaii 650.
Headline News, I'm Don Harrison. In less than half an hour, Federal Reserve Chairman Alan Greenspan will face an uncomfortable dilemma.
Aloha, I'm Ken Hupp.
I'm Valerie St. John.
And I'm Paul Brew.
Join us Monday through Friday from 6 to 9 a.m. for all the news, sports, and information you need to start your day.
With the combined services of KPOA News, the Hawaii News Network, CBS, and Mutual, we cover Hawaii and the world like no one else.
And when it comes to sports, KPOA, HNN, and CBS is your winning team.
That's the KPOA Morning News, weekday mornings from 6 to 9 a.m.
Don't start your day without it.
It's 7:56. I'm Candace Cruz with your 93-second update on KQMQ. 93.1 KQMQ wants you to know the YWCA of Oahu is offering pre-employment training to assist women to prepare for entry-level jobs. If you'd like more information on that, call us here. KQMQ Island weather, mostly sunny. A few of these morning showers, but they should clear up. The trades are blowing 15 to 30. It is 79 degrees in Honolulu. KQMQ eyewitness traffic. We have no reports of accidents, no stalled vehicles to tell you about this morning. If you do see any sort of traffic hazard, let us know. Press star 93 on your Honolulu cellular phone. It is a free call. Hawaii's most dependable traffic on KQMQ. It's 7:58. I'm Candace Cruz, and you're up to date.
If you'd like to announce your club or community organization on KUAI, drop us a line at 720-LELE-96705 or fax us at 335-3834. The KUAI Datebook has been brought to you by M. Kawamura Farm Enterprises. For modern, state-of-the-art lawn and garden equipment at your best price, see Ed at M. Kawamura Farm Enterprises in Lihue on Wehe Road next to the county base yard, or call 245-3524.
Hawaii's most listened to news, talk, and sports. 76 KGU Honolulu. Rainbow Radio in Hawaii.
CBS News, this is Frank Setapani. A grim-faced O.J. Simpson has just left the Los Angeles court after a hearing on his lawyer's request for all the evidence police have in the murders of his former wife and a friend.
Music of Hapa, the group that is coming to town pretty soon for concert. Watch out, man. 8 o'clock is the time. You're listening to AM 790 KKON in Kiala Kekua. We are the big voice of the big island, bringing you the best in music of Hawaii. Home stretch, gang. 1 hour more. If you're still in bed, shame on you. Get up. It is burning daylight out there. Ooh, it is hot.
HVH AM Honolulu, Hawaii's news, talk, traffic, and weather.
From ABC News, I'm Doug Limerick. O.J. Simpson looked a bit better, more rested at his second court hearing today.
Weather briefly, we have some brief morning rain, then sunny skies by the afternoon. A high temperature should be 88 degrees, and trade winds are strong, blowing 15 to 30 miles per hour and gusty. And this morning, we're giving away some free food at this weekend's Taste of Honolulu, or actually some free tickets or script for that food. All you have to do to qualify for our drawing is to send us a fax. Our fax number is 531-0083. Fax it on your company letterhead and just name three members of our KHVH Morning News Crew. Simple. 531-0083. Send those faxes in on your company letterhead. Again, three members of the KHVH Morning News Crew, and you can qualify to win some free food for this weekend's Taste of Honolulu. Some great food, a great prize, and we'll be down there. We'll have a KHVH booth. You can also come down, and I guess it's kind of always nice to see what radio guys look like, and I'll tell you, Paul Sampson is definitely a handsome devil, and we're going to go talk to him right now and get the latest news.
And good morning. Thank you, Steve. Hi, everyone. State Campaign Spending Commission Executive Director Jack Gonzalez says he filed for personal bankruptcy last week to protect himself. Gonzalez has been indicted by a federal court for his alleged role in a $10 million fraud case. I'm Paul Sampson, 830 KHVH.
And it's 7:09. Coming up, we have 10-minute traffic with Danielle Tucker. Also, Brooks Bears here to let you know what's going up in sports. We'll have a big update on the big World Cup soccer going on. Again, KHVH News Time, 7:09.
Today's country music, KHLO.
Hi, this is Steve Lewis, and we're committed to playing only the hottest new country songs.
Now, more of what we're famous for. Country music, AM 850 KHLO.
At this time, Hawaii's inspiration station, KAIM, leaves the air. KAIM is owned and operated by the Christian Broadcasting Association. Our studios are located with our offices at 3555 Harding Avenue, Honolulu. KAIM's transmitter is located at Kuluakoi on the island of Molokai, Hawaii. Station KAIM has been operating at an assigned broadcast frequency of 870 kilohertz with a power of 50,000 watts. KAIM also operated oral studio transmitter link WGZ-588 at 948.5 megahertz at 3555 Harding Avenue, and oral studio transmitter link relay WGZ-589 at 949.5 megahertz on the slope of Cocoa Head, Honolulu. KAIM operates under the authorization of the Federal Communications Commission, Washington, D.C. We pray you receive a blessing from our programming today and invite you to join us again tomorrow morning at 5 o'clock. And now the staff and management of KAIM wish you a pleasant good evening and aloha.
KNUI AM and FM, leave the light pollution behind and enjoy an evening of stargazing and star lore with Haleakala Park Rangers on Wednesday at Hosmer Grove, 7:30 to 8:30 p.m. It's free, but you may be asked to pay the usual $4 entrance fee.
Dad Helping Dad is building the smallest democracy at the heart of society every Tuesday night at the Haiku Community Center from 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. Dad Parent Effectiveness Training is available too. Go this week, Tuesday, and or call 243-0556 for Dad's Helping Dads. I am Zane Dittman on Maui's KNUI.
AM 900 and FM 99 KNUI.
Our studios and office are located at 711 Kapiolani Boulevard. Portions of our programming are pre-recorded and transcribed.
18日火曜日の朝です。おはようございます。いい朝迎えてらっしゃいますか。 KJPM J94
Hawaii's Good Times Great Oldies Station AM 990 KIKI,
the station you listen to the most for Hawaii's Oldies AM 990 KIKI.
Hey baby, the plan I saw.
Weekdays at 1 a.m., 9 a.m., 6:30 p.m., and 10 p.m. Right here on K-Light, KLHT, Honolulu.
Stay in touch, stay informed, as the Pure Light of Hawaii brings you world and national news right here on KLHT, Honolulu.
USA Radio Network News, this is Bob Agnew. Consumer confidence is up. The Conference Board said its latest survey puts the confidence index at 92, up from 89% last month.
This is AM 1060 KAHU Hino, Hawaii, ending another broadcast day. Our transmitter is located at the northeast corner of Kahaupea Street and Hawaii Road, Hino, Hawaii. AM 1060 KAHU Hino, Hawaii operates in the assigned frequency of 1,060 kHz with an effective radiated power of 1,000 watts, as approved by the Federal Communications Commission. AM 1060 KAHU Hino, Hawaii will return on the air tomorrow morning. This concludes our broadcast day.
Listening to KWAI Honolulu, and now it's time to bring you up to date on what's going on locally, nationally, and around the world with news on K108.
This is a Hawaii Headline News Update. Honolulu Mayor Frank Fossey denies any knowledge of campaign contributions made to his gubernatorial campaign.
And that wraps up another segment of Market Scope. Thanks again, Bruce, for an excellent job in putting it all together. We'll see you all next month as we continue with Island Radio. For the DX Audio Service, I'm Phil Wayne. Have a safe trip to Nashua. And now, with his motorhome careening eastward for a wild weekend, here's Big John Bowker.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome to another historical moment from the annals of radio history. And this month, we're going to be revisiting the vexing question of which radio station really was the first broadcaster. Because over the years, we have clearly established that the first broadcast radio station was one of five or six different stations. And well, now, all kidding aside, it's pretty obvious that we have to define our terms carefully before we can comfortably pick a winner in this matter. Of all the stations I've mentioned, though, KDKA has to be the simple winner because it has claimed to come on the air at an earliest date and to transmit news and entertainment programs ever since. So, what's the problem? Well, during our travels this summer, I ran across the science column in the Time magazine issue of April 13, 1936, and it brings up some new information not before heard on historical moments. And yes, I do spend a lot of time in libraries. Here's what Time magazine wrote in 1936. 9 out of 10 radio devotees have doubtless heard or read somewhere that KDKA in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, was the first regular broadcasting station in the United States. The surprise, therefore, was quite great one evening last week when WWJ, operated by the Detroit News in that city, splashed over the air a 16th anniversary program in which it claimed seniority over station KDKA. Stepping up to a WWJ microphone was famed inventor Lee DeForest, the man who invented the first amplifying vacuum tube. Said he, quote, "On the night of August 20th, 1920, the first commercial radio broadcast station in all the world was opened, and every night and every day since that momentous beginning, WWJ has maintained this service. And not until 11 weeks after its founding did WWJ share the channels of the year with a rival broadcasting station, KDKA of Pittsburgh." That was the end of the quote. Time magazine goes on to say that the record shows that on the night of August 31st, 1920, the Detroit news station did indeed broadcast the returns of the primary election in Michigan. And 2 months later, it and station KDKA both broadcast returns of the national presidential election. Westinghouse and its KDKA then continued with semi-weekly broadcasts until December 1st, 1920, when daily programming commenced. KDKA was by no means willing, in 1936, to let priority go to WWJ without a struggle. The Time magazine article continues, "A Westinghouse spokesman stubbornly declared last week that Westinghouse, in starting KDKA, developed the term broadcasting. KDKA was operating under its present call letters 16 months before WWJ was assigned its present call letters on March 3, 1922. The spokesman, in continuing, though, did not deny any of WWJ's statements. So, once again, we have a simple matter of defining our terms. Do we say that a station's history is only as old as its present call sign? It's an interesting question. I'd be interested in your thoughts on the matter, maybe on the action line. For instance, if you were tracing the history of, say, WFAN in New York City, wouldn't you say it picked up where WNBC left off? There was, after all, considerable continuity of programs, even though it had all new management and a new format and new call letters. But now, on the other hand, could you possibly in any way say that the roots of all business radio, WBBR in New York, go back to 1934, because that's when big band station WNEW on that same frequency was started? And then there's KOIL and KKAR. They swapped frequencies in Omaha Bellevue market a year or two ago, as you heard perhaps earlier on this tape. So how would you handle it if you were writing the history of broadcasting? Would you say that KOIL changed frequencies from 1290 to 1180? Or would you simply say there was a change of call letters at 1290 on the dial in Omaha from KOIL to KKAR? I won't even ask how you'd handle the recent changes in Cincinnati. And regrettably, the list and confusion gets longer every day. It all boils down to this. Should broadcasting genealogy be done by station call letters, or by frequency, by changes of management, or some combination of factors? I'd like to know. Let me know. Next month, we'll be coming to you live from the annual NRC and DX Audio Service Convention in New Hampshire. We're looking forward to it. For Historical Moments in Radio, this is John Bowker.
The DX Audio Service, musings for members. The opinions expressed are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect the views of the DX Audio Service, the National Radio Club, or the editors and publishers. Members may muse by calling the action line at 419-224-3916, 24 hours a day.
Hello, Fred. This is Pat Cassidy from Newcastle, Delaware. It's approximately 1 a.m. on Saturday, July 30th, and I would just like to tell you that we have a new radio station in Smyrna, Delaware, which is approximately 12 miles north of Dover, Delaware, our state capital. WYHH came on the air as an adult contemporary station at 12 noon on Thursday, July 27th. The station beforehand was copying the AM of WDOV, which is News Talk and CNN News, but they played Chris Christmas in July for a couple of days before, and they became the adult contemporary 80s and 90s station at noon on Thursday, the 27th of July. I have another station to tell you about, also on FM. We have a new Christian station in Christiana, Delaware, which is about 10 miles or so from Newark. It's 89.1 WXHL. It's run by Safe City Family Church. They've been on the air almost a week, and they're 24 hours a day. And I forgot to mention that WYHH that I called about earlier, that's FM 92.9. Okay? Thanks a lot, Fred.
Hi, Fred, and hello, fellow DX Audio Service members. This is Johnny Ott, WA8WFH, in Minneapolis. And it's Thursday morning, August the 4th, at 20 minutes to 6, Central Daylight Time. Here's a piece of trivia for you, especially for Tim Hendel there, KC4BBI. Tim mentioned on his Bandscan WSRF in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Now, if memory serves me correctly, and it usually does, once upon a time, way back when, one of the owners of that station, I don't know if he was the sole owner, but in any way he had something to do with owning the station, was an old boy by the name of Van Patrick. Now, for most people, especially the younger crowd, that name doesn't mean a thing. But if you're into the history of Detroit radio and sports, and Fred, I know you would be, Van Patrick was quite a guy. And among the things that he did was, as I remember it, he owned three radio stations. He owned WKMH, later to be WKNR, in Dearborn, and he owned this WSRF in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. And he also owned a station in Texas, and I cannot for the life of me remember what that call was or where it was, but he owned at least three stations, KMH, later KNR, this WSRF, and the station in Texas, as well as all of his other activities. And, Fred, you can fill in the blanks on the other great things that the old boy did, including his weekly weeknight sports show, and being mutual sports director and Tiger baseball and Lions football and the whole bit. Anyway, hope you all have fun at the New Hampshire convention and hope you get to tour Pease Air Force Base before it shuts down. And with that, we'll talk to you later. Bye.
This is Tim Hendel in Miami. First, I'd like to publicly thank Ken Chatterton for his information on WOLF on the August DX Audio Service. I'm the person who asked the question. Fred's ruminations about AM radio sparked me to say this. First of all, I think one of the biggest damaging factors to AM radio is the allowing AM stations to simulcast the FM stations. To me, if you can't program it, you should get off the frequency and let someone else do it. I also think Fred is really right on with his recommendations that AM stations should carry local news and community affairs. I've noticed in my travels this summer in New York State and also out west that many stations do this. Unfortunately, here in Miami, Florida, this is not the case. Particularly with the English stations, the Spanish stations do a little better job. If something important happens in Miami on the weekend, there is no way to hear about it on the radio. What do the stations do? They all hit the satellite, and you're going to get whatever that national network thinks you ought to have. Even our national public radio station here in Miami has no local news department, so there's just no way to find out what's going on in your own community by listening to AM radio. I don't think this is a good idea. You were asking if we had any ideas for changes on the DX Audio Service. The column 50 years ago and 25 years ago in DX News, if you cannot get the whole column in, I would rather you concentrate on 50 years ago rather than as you did in August 25 years ago, just because I think it's more likely that most of us were not around 50 years ago, and there's stuff in there that we don't remember, therefore it's very interesting, just as John Bowker's column is interesting, whereas 25 years ago may be things that we already know about. Also, I would like to say that your review of a device on Ed Potter's underground tape was absolutely wonderful. Those of you who didn't hear Fred's review of this device may want to get in touch with Ed Potter and subscribe to that tape. And Fred, I'm now in the process of trying to locate one of those devices to buy for myself. So thanks for the information and thanks for the review.
Well, hi, Fred. This is Bob Rathbun from Lowell, Massachusetts. 740 on the dial in the Boston area is a familiar station by now. The voice of Bob Bittner says...
Here's the text at 4 o'clock. We'll continue with the music right after the news here at WJIB, Cambridge, Boston.
USA Radio.
And that's what we have at 740. At 1250 on the dial from Lowell, I get WARE in Ware, Mass. But today I heard...
This is Malcolm Kaufman in Cambridge, Massachusetts, calling on Wednesday morning, August 17th. In the July DX audio service, there was a question about whatever happened to NBC Network News on the Hour. Of course, as you had mentioned, NBC was absorbed into Westwood One. There are stations carrying NBC News at least up till midnight through Westwood One. Where Westwood One is doing after midnight is consolidating Mutual and NBC newscasts. It's the same newscast, and depending on which station it's being fed to, there'll be a different sounder. So some stations will get a Mutual sounder, some will get an NBC sounder, then there's a break for 2 or 3 seconds, and they go on the actual newscast, and the anchor never identifies the network. The only identification is through the sounder. The only programming that they're probably doing in addition to that for NBC is the audio for Meet the Press. I assume they do that. I don't know that for a fact. There was a program at 5 a.m., like whatever it is, Good Morning America, Mutual. NBC had its own called First Light, but that was a 30-minute news magazine. That may have been discontinued. So it's mostly these newscasts, which are, again, consolidated with Mutual after midnight Eastern. The big news here in Boston that broke in the papers today, though there's been rumors for about a week, is 50-kilowatt WHDH, which has been on the air since 1926, will be closing down on August 29th. And WEEI, 5 kilowatts at 590, the sports station at Margaret, will be taking over that frequency. In turn, 590 will become a affiliate of Bloomberg News Radio. I believe the call letters will be WBNW. So a major shakeup as a result of duopoly owner transfers here in the Boston market, effective the last week in August.
Good morning, Fred. This is Pat Cassidy calling from Newcastle, Delaware. It's almost 1:30 a.m. on August 18th. On Wednesday, August 17th, we had a change in the Wilmington radio market. WJBR AM, which had been simulcasting with our FM, has now changed. WJBR AM is now a member of the Unistar radio satellite network that is supposedly playing music from the 40s, 50s, and 60s. Although I have heard some songs from the 70s and occasionally from 1980 on that satellite since they have joined. It's the same satellite that WMID in Atlantic City is on and WWDC in Washington and I believe WDRC in Hartford, Connecticut. And I believe there's a station in Pittsburgh to name another one that's on there. But I just wanted you to know that WJBR-AM is now a member of the Unistar satellite playing mostly music from the 40s, 50s, and 60s. It's good to have a change on the AM dial in Wilmington, Delaware. I forgot to mention that for those who are interested in dial settings, WJBR AM is on 1290, and WJBR FM, the station I work for, is on 99.5. And WJBR FM continues to play a mixture of hits from the 60s to the 90s. While I'm on here, Fred, you answered part of my question on the last issue about the AM market, especially the way it's gone in Baltimore and Philadelphia. But one thing I guess I should have asked you, too, are all the AM radio markets in the U.S. going the same way as the markets seeming to be in the eastern part of the country? I just thought that maybe there might be some differences in the markets, maybe in the further western parts of the country or in the north and in the south. Thank you very much, Fred. Enjoy the magazine thoroughly.
Hi, Fred. Bob Rathbun from Lowell, Mass. State old New England, where never anything changes, is about to have a major radio shakeup in the Boston market. 590 WEEI Sports Radio Boston is about to move to 850, the WHDH frequency. They're taking their EEI call with them. Sports Radio 850 WEEI. The WHDH talk host, including Rush Limbaugh, is going to 680 WRKO, which will be all talk as it is now. 590 will become WBNW Business Radio from the Bloomberg service that WBBR takes from. That's going to all happen August 29. So big doings in Boston. Thanks, Fred. Bye.
And if you'd like to get something on the air, so to speak, a muse or two, just give us a call at area code 419-224-3916. 24 hours a day. If you notice that we're not too jingly, not too musically inclined on this edition, well, there is a reason for that. We're changing over our facility here and putting in some digital equipment, and hopefully within the next couple of editions, we'll be actually doing the entire magazine on hard disk. So it's going to be kind of interesting. A little bit of culture shock for yours truly after working with tape for some 25 years. Another thing that we got planned is doing a thing like Bruce Williams does, where after his show airs, he takes calls until like 3 o'clock in the morning. This will be for an After Dark edition. We'll have details on the next edition of the DX Audio Service when we're going to do that, so that you can ask questions of myself and several other editors and perhaps get some answers. But right now, let's get some answers with Pete Kemp's Radio Roundup. And Pete Kemp writes, greetings to all. Well, with fall upon us, the broadcast band DXing will begin to get going, and DXers will get their ears tweaked up for some heavy-duty DXing for the months to come. Did anyone notice how many retrospectives and special programming weekends revolved around Woodstock? I noticed that KFRX in Denver awarded one lucky listener a classic Volkswagen van all painted up and ready to go to Woodstock. CKEY is changing their format to alternative from adult contemporary. EIB, syndicators of the Rush Limbaugh Show, is going toe-to-toe with the USA Talk Network over their proposed new talk show, tentatively titled After Rush. EIB sees it as an infringement. Howard Stern has dropped out of the governor's race in New York. He says he doesn't want to disclose his personal finances to the public in accordance with the New York state law. WIYY in Baltimore has hopped on the personal pager bandwagon, issuing special pagers to listeners. They are beeped for special information such as concert information, traffic, and weather alerts. The beepers flash a series of 98s, reminding the listener to tune in. Sharp-eyed NRCer up in Canada, Brent Taylor, reports that WREM in Monticello, Maine, is simulcasting WEGP on 1390 in Prescott Isle, Maine. The station's ID together and everything. There seems to be absolutely no individual programming for WREM at all. In their all-talk format, they run Dr. Joy Brown in the AM and Rush Limbaugh from noon to 3 p.m. Eastern local time. The world of being politically correct when ESPN Radio's GM Mark Mason discussed his network's recent addition of former KJR sports staffer, the fabulous sports babe, a.k.a. Nancy Donnellan. Mason states that the babe is everything that is politically incorrect. She breaks any mold that we've ever had before. The baseball strike has lots of stations having to make some fast moves in programming. It's also interesting to note that listenership is up in minor league broadcasts. KMPC Talkmaster Joe Crummy recently made an on-the-air apology to his listeners regarding his comments about the O.J. Simpson case. He had recently told his listeners that O.J. was guilty as sin and that we should go downtown right now and string him up. Needless to say, many people were not pleased with his original comments. The NAACP is expected to carry on with its issue before the Federal Communications Commission. Rush Limbaugh's Florida orange juice contract has not been renewed. One has to wonder about that. One of Los Angeles's radio DJs, the real Don Steele, will be receiving a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame next year. Also on the left coast, KMPC sportscaster Jim Healy has passed away at the age of 70. He had been in the market for over 43 years. DJ Michael J. Fox has moved across town from WHYT FM 93 in Detroit to the 4Ws, www.detroit106.7. And his country gig also goes along with him. National Radio Club member Gregory Hansen reports that W4, otherwise known as WWWW, is going to transition to an all-sports station very soon. Their new GM, Lorna Gladstone, has previously worked at sports stations in Chicago and Minneapolis. WWRC isn't too happy about its book in Washington. The station has been at the bottom since switching to a talk format back in 1987. Peter Loeffler has been shown the door after 13 months as program director. The new GM, Bob Longwell, said he wanted to get the talk into the mainstream instead of inside the Beltway. Radio trivia nuts take note that Peter Loeffler was once part of a news team with Charles Jaco on the NBC radio network. Jaco was the hit with Desert Storm Watchers of CNN. He's no longer on CNN. While in the trivia mode, do you know that Paul Harvey's real last name is Arendt? It is. If you'd like to contribute to this column, you may reach Pete Kemp at the following addresses. You can reach him at the National Radio Club's DX Audio Service, Post Office Box 5031, Lima, Ohio 45802-5031, via CompuServe at the following address, 72376, 2557, or on internet at PETEKZ1Z at AOL.com. Also on the Fido system in the shortwave, ham, or broadcasting echoes, or on the Oracle BBS 1:141/1015, or via amateur radio packet KZ1Z at K1UOL.CT. Pete's an easy guy to get a hold of, so pass in that information on what is going on around your neighborhood in the wonderful, wacky world of radio. And speaking of wacky information, I have something here which is kind of interesting. Remember on side one, we gave you the history of WJR and gave Victor Schmidt a DX Audio Service ball cap for it. Well, I've got something here which is interesting as equally as WJR, and that is another Michigan station. One of the most powerful FM stations in the United States. Now, do you know which one that is? That's WJFM, and a station is located up in Grand Rapids, Michigan. Back in June 30th, 1944, an application was made for a construction permit for a new high-frequency broadcast station on the frequency of 43.9 megahertz with a coverage of 18,250 square miles from Grand Rapids, Michigan, using an old GECF-150-D transmitter, maximum power of 50 kilowatts. This application was granted on August 1st of 1946. Then in August 18th of 1947, they were granted a construction permit for a proposed assignment on channel 229, which is 93.7 megahertz. Then in December 25th of 1947, they were assigned their license over to the Fetzer Broadcasting Company. October 27th of 1948, they were granted a construction permit for 93.7 megahertz with a power of 550,000 watts unlimited time, antenna height of 910 feet. The construction permit was mailed on 1/18/49. There were extensions of completion date. Then on May 31st of 1951, they were granted authority to operate on 93.7 megahertz with a federal 197A transmitter, 10 kilowatts power output to provide program service, and there were some extensions of the completion date on the CP. December 10th of 1951, they were granted authority to use a Collins 37-1 12-bay antenna with center of 248 feet above ground at the WKZO transmitter site in, KZO television transmitter site, and there were extensions of that completion date also. And the modifications of construction permit continue on into February 17th of 1954 as they change the type of transmitter and antenna system, studio and transmitter location, change the ERP up to 115,000 watts with an antenna height of 420 feet. Then on March 5th of 1954, the date first license, the licensee was John E. Fetzer and Rhea Y. Fetzer, DBA Fetzer Broadcasting Incorporated, Grand Rapids, Michigan. The first listed call letters were WJEF-FM. Then on January 2nd, 1957, they were granted a SCA on 67 kilohertz. We don't know if that's for background music or whatever. August 8th of 1960, granted a construction permit to move the transmitter site, increase the ERP to 500,000 watts, increase the antenna height to 800 feet, install a new transmitter, an RCA BTF-50B, and a new antenna, an RCA BFA-12A. March 7th, 1962, brought along a grant for a license to cover the CP for 93.7 and a TPO of 44.5 kilowatts or 500,000 watts ERP, antenna height of 800 feet. July 24th, 1963, call letters were changed to WJFM-FM. On January 6th of 1970, they were granted a construction permit for 93.7 with an ERP of 470 thousand watts horizontal, 46,000 watts vertical, change the antenna to an RCA BFAC-10/6, 10 horizontal antenna structures and 6 vertical sections of antenna structure, antenna height of 800 feet. March 10th of 1970, there was a memo describing the transmitter as an RCA BTF-50B with an RCA BTE-15A exciter. Oh, boy. I've worked on one of those. December 17th, 1970, they were granted a modification of the construction permit to change the antenna height to 780 feet, horizontal and vertical, and a license to cover the CP was granted on 1-29 of 71. On November 21st, 1977, the new Harris MS-15 exciter was installed. On February 27th, 1979, they were granted a construction permit to make changes in their antenna, change the antenna to a Harris FMH-12BC-6, 12 sections of horizontal and vertical, change the transmitter over to a Harris 40/40K, increase the ERP to 500,000 watts, and to change the transmitter power output. On August 21st, 1979, they were granted a renewal of their license and their SCA, and finally, on November 6th of 1979, they were granted a CP to change the ERP to 320 thousand watts with an antenna height of 780 feet. License to cover the CP was granted on 7/21/1980, and thus closes the book on WJFM, one of the most powerful FM stations in the United States. In our waning moments here on the DX Audio Service, pass along some information, as Phil alluded to. It looks like the two of us are not going to be able to attend this year's convention up in Nashua because of some prior commitments. Hopefully, we'll be able to make next year's convention. I hope so. And we're going to see if we can just block out the time well ahead of time so that we don't have the schedule conflicts like we had this year. But if you have a chance to go, please do so, because it is a fantastic weekend to spend with people who share the same hobby as you have. And you get to meet a lot of people that you've only heard voices of on the DX Audio Service, and especially John Bowker, who is very interesting to talk history with. Also, I'd like to pass on this quick reminder to all our members. If you have a tape which gets damaged in the mail, or perhaps we didn't copy it right or something, we will replace the tape as long as you send that tape back to us. And be sure to write on the package somewhere, either on the outside or tape onto the cassette a little note, which tells us what the problem is and what you need done. Just don't send us a tape back with no explanation, because we don't know what to do with it then. So, please put a little note in and tell us what the problem is, and we'll take care of it and correct it. Now, if your tape just completely comes up missing, To issue you a new tape, there's only one way we can do that, and that is if you file a complaint with the post office, either just give us a copy of a letter which you've sent to the post office letting them know that your tape is missing, or one of their complaint forms which is found in every post office lobby. Please do that, and we'll be more than happy to replace your tape. That is it for this edition of the DX Audio Service. I've got to hook up the digital system, figuring out the ones and zeros and how the mouse works and all that stuff. So we'll say 73s to you. The DX Audio Service is produced in the studios of Great Northern Broadcast Company, Post Office Box 5031, Lima, Ohio 45802.